Welcome to the Smarter, Wealthier Podcast, presented by Jags Mechanical, with your host, Spencer Dillinger, and co-host, Gabe Rogers. And here they are.
All right. Today, we are going to be talking about, is AI coming for our jobs? And this is something that I think a lot of people are worried about right now. Maybe we're less worried about it.
Yeah, we're definitely less worried about it, and we're both amped up on coffee right now, for sure. We've been goofing off for the last 10 minutes trying to get prepped for this.
So, a lot of office work and a lot of computer work right now is something that people are concerned, especially as AI gets better and better at writing and automating tasks, that there's going to be less jobs in the traditional sense. And so one of the things that people don't talk about as much about the trades is just the job security that you have in having actual skills to fix things. That are beyond the skills that you need to work on a computer or write a report or, you know, build a spreadsheet, which I'm not saying any of those things aren't skills, but obviously, it's much harder for AI to do physical things because robotics is not.
For now.
Yeah, for now.
For now.
So.
I mean, Elon's doing some stuff out there. You never know what's coming down the. You never know what's going to be on X.
I mean, I hope so, man. Like, get the Optimus robot to do my laundry and stuff. That would be cool.
I kind of look at AI and what we do a little bit different than what the, I don't know, general public or what you see on social media or whatever forums there is, because everyone's like, they're coming. For example, I had my father-in-law in town, and he's a older guy, and he's talking about how AI is taking over everything, and AI is watching truck drivers, and AI is doing this, and it's taking over all kinds of things. And I think sometime in July, I sat through an AI class with a company called Salix Data. Shout out. And we sat through a class and we kind of talked about how AI is really not going, it doesn't have the capability of taking a job. They use the words task augmentation. Mm. It's literally to make your job more efficient. And I look at it as it helps me out a ton in just the way that I communicate across digitally, I guess that's probably the right way to say that. If I'm sending Spencer an email and I want to make sure that, like, oh, I think this comes across a little too firm. Hey, can you soften this up for me? Or, hey, this is coming across too soft. Can you make it a little bit more firm and direct. And help me get the points across that I'm trying to do? I think yesterday you and Kennedy were in my office and we were going through some kind of article that we were writing, and I dropped it in and said, hey, what did you get out of this article?
Yeah, I thought that was really interesting when you did that, because I was expecting, like, a lot of times what we do when we use AI is we drop something in and say, hey, redo this or rewrite it, or how would you write this better? And I thought it was interesting that you were like, what do you get out of what I wrote? You know?
Yeah, and it gave us great, I mean, it gave us a good insight. And then I said, could you rewrite this a little bit shorter to keep the same message that you felt when you read this? And it made it, in our opinion, obviously better. I mean, that's the kind of how we use it just in our life and emails, and even in, like, I have it review invoices for technicians, like, hey, their notes seem a little off. Can you rewrite it for me? Or help me understand what you got out of this with this information. So I look at it as task augmentation, to where it's not going to take away my job. I still had to write the email. I had to give it the prompts to do the thing. Now it did most of the writing, and then I go back through and edited it, which is great for what we do. And I know we're talking today more about, like, what does it do physically for us, or can it physically fix a piece of equipment?
Yeah, I mean, AI is one of those things where I think people generally understand that it thrives in a digital world and not a physical world. So I don't feel like we need to go through and break down exactly why that is.
I didn't know those things were separate.
But I do think it's interesting just how much AI can help us do our jobs, even when our job is extremely physical. I mean, we talk about personal development a lot on this podcast. And one of the things that I use AI for is if I have a goal or I'm having trouble, maybe I'm having writer's block on like how to write my goal, AI is really helpful for giving you that just springboard to get your brain thinking. And I think that's one of the main benefits to using it in our jobs is...
Ow. Just hit my head on the microphone, by the way. I was trying not to cough on the microphone and went bang.
But I think using AI to make yourself better or help you think of the things that you need to get your goals done, to get your goal from point A to point B.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it. I know we're coming up on our quarterly sessions and stuff like that, and it's good to maybe dump what we think we should be doing in and then how to properly word them, because when we have a goal for the quarter or even for the thing, we're very specific with the words, and we hold to the wording. And so sometimes at the end of a quarterly meeting, we're sitting there arguing over whether it should have and or in it.
Yeah, it also will take like complex scenarios. So like if we say, you know, at JAGS, one of the things that we talk about a lot, you know, we want to build smarter, wealthier, more successful people than the universities can create. We want to be a place where people can have a career that is very successful and they don't have to go to college. They don't have to go the traditional path. We talk about that so much, but you can take that information and put that into an AI and say, this is what we're looking at that we think in 3 years we could do. This is what our 10-year goal is. This is what we're doing this quarter. You can put that information in and say, you know, what should we be doing? Is this the path? Are we on the right track with these things? What are the things we're not thinking about? And it'll give you a list of things that you didn't think of. And I use that a lot. I use that a lot to think of things that I'm not thinking of.
And the great thing is me and you share one of the ChatGPT, I believe. And now I've been using Super Grok, so woo. But the one thing that I always thought was cool is when we're using ChatGPT, it remembers like all of our core values. It remembers all the things that you've put in from marketing and the business development side. So when we're using it in an operations role and we're asking it questions, it remembers to make sure that we're staying on topic or staying focused on what our goals are, what we're actually trying to do, so that it doesn't deviate from, you know, we're going down a path. No, it helps us stay structured and in. And there's been several times where I've put it in and it says, well, Jags Mechanical is a company that does X, X, and X. Mm-hmm. Are you sure you want that information? And I was like, oh, thank you for keeping me on track. That's something that, you know, I obviously was going to get off track about. So I'm glad that it did something like that, which made it, you know, that's the things that you don't really catch in it. So,
yeah. So if you can't tell, we're kind of pro AI. But I think that the thing that most people are worried about is not, it's a long ways off from being able to do the trades.
Yeah, well, and I'll go back to task augmentation with the trades, just because I know we're working on we've been working on a pretty good parallel rack for the last couple months. A couple of our team members have been working on them, and they use AI a lot. And this kind of goes in both realms of what we're talking about, how it can help you and how it's not able to do it yet. We were talking the other day about X problem. I think it was with, what was the valve he was working on? He was working on an EPR valve. and he put some information in, and it went down some rabbit hole that had nothing to do with anything that would be refrigeration related. And we're like, whoa, 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 whoa. Just because AI says it doesn't mean it's the truth. You know better than that. Don't believe everything it tells you. So we kind of had to stop on that thing. But also, I know that a lot of our technicians have used it before and said, would take a picture of the model and serial number of a piece of equipment they're working on, and it immediately can pull up the parts manual, the service manual. It can pull the data from all of that, and they can even say, hey, the thermocouple is bad on this fryer. Here's a picture of the model and serial number. What's the part number? And boom, they have it faster than if they Googled the model number and then scrolled through until they found the right link to click on, or went to partstown.com to go research this, that, and the other. They just took a picture of the model and serial number, and bang, they had it. It's so much more efficient than them researching it themselves.
Even, recently I tried to Google something, and I think Google's going to struggle with this. I don't know if you've noticed this, but when you Google something and it's something that an AI could tell you, but there's people who sell products, Google will give you a bunch of links to click on, because they get paid off of advertising, right? So they still want you to click on the website. So the AI, sometimes you have to click specifically to ask AI to do something, and even then it'll give you links. And so sometimes when I would have just used Google, I end up having to go to another AI to find something out, specifically like looking for parts. Like Google has AI and the capability to do what ChatGPT can do, but they don't use it because it hurts their income. So, but the cool thing, and I don't know how they're going to deal with this in the future, because I'm sure it's a problem. Like, I'm sure it's a problem for Google that, like, I'm going to ChatGPT to search stuff because it gives me the information. If there's a news article headline that I'm interested in, I don't even click on it anymore. I go to an AI and ask because...
Well, and the AIs, they cite their sources too. Like, so, like, oh, I like that source. That's the source that I usually grab my news from, or that's the site that I like. So you can click on it and it will open up that web page also, which is fantastic.
But the advertising world has to be taking a hit from that, right? Because when I go on to a news site, there's 10 billion articles, blocking my view. And I'm like, I have to scroll, not articles, ads. There's 10 billion ads on every one of these news sites. And so you're reading, and then all of a sudden there's an ad for something you don't even buy. I don't know, like makeup or something. I'm like, I don't wear makeup. Like, it's...
You sure?
Maybe I should. I don't know. But it's very helpful to not have all that and just cut through the noise, get the information that you want, just by saying, I want this information, and it spits it out. So I think either... that's got to be a problem.
So
that's got to be a problem.
Last month at in my Vistage, we went to... the guy who was hosting last month is an e-commerce site, and he was kind of explaining, because they pay for Google AdSense and all that jazz.
Yeah.
And he was going through, like, he even used our company as an example, like, who works on kitchen restaurant equipment in this area? And he put it into Gemini, he put it into GPT, he put it into Grok, he put it into all of them, and all of them pulled up different company names, and we were in most of them. And then, but they weren't in any order. So, like, Gemini, you would imagine they would put them in order based on Google reviews or something. Like, this Google one has the best. But Gemini didn't do that. It just put them in random order. And it put them in an order where it was kind of like the worst rated person was first. And then the middle rated person was second. And then another lower rating. And then the highest rating was at the bottom. It didn't make any sense, and he was like, no one understands it. So he used his company as an example. They sell a specific product. I don't want to give out their name just in case there's something there, but he typed in their company product that they sell, and it pulled up all of these people. And he was mixed in there, but they're like the number one people selling that item, but they weren't even on, and it's Gemini. But if you Google it, they're the first person.
Yeah.
He was like, so there's no... No one really understands what it's pulling AI's from. AI is
changing the landscape of, like, keywords and advertising, and I really think that's going to be a problem. Because, I mean, I can't imagine Google is happy about people doing that.
There, I think Darren Hardy has an AI that literally teaches you what things to type into AI so that you can get the correct.
Yeah.
And then
you design prompts.
Another guy in our Vistage, they just did the same thing in their company. They have a thing that helps you design the prompts so that you can get the right coding if you're trying to code or if you're trying to do X thing. It's really neat, but like it does take the right prompts to get the information you need. And that goes back to where like AI is really, I always say computers are as smart as the person using them. Yeah. They're going to do what you tell them to do. Exactly. They're black and white. You type it in, that's what it does. And that's kind of what AI is doing. Is
I actually saw an article that was saying that because AI uses your input so heavily in what it spits back to you, that people who have tried to use, like, I don't know if you know that people have done this, but they've done like AI therapy, AI therapists, and people have tried to use that, and it ends up telling people exactly what they want to hear, which is not, you know,
that's
helpful.
Not good. That's never good.
Yeah, it doesn't help people actually get better because it's so reflective of what they are saying.
Confirmation bias is not good for you, is what you're saying.
Yeah, so there's a lot of limitations to AI right now. I'm not saying it couldn't get there in the future, but I think there's a lot of people are too busy worrying about is AI going to take my job, and they're not thinking about there's an infinite number of ways you can use AI to make your job better, more effective, be able to do more.
I will say this, man, I'm banging in everything today. I will say this with the AI, it's going to be our search engine, and it already is. It's my search engine. It's what I use. It's funny because like my children who don't have internet access, they don't have all these things. When they want to play on dad or mom's phone, they don't go and play a game anymore, and they don't search for things. They go to Grok or ChatGPT, or they go to one of these things because it's kind of at least my children are this way. They're very like they want to create things, and I know that your one son has been pretty big in that. Like he wants to invent an animal, so he goes in and types what the animal looks like, or they don't even type. My kids talk text everything, so they don't know how to spell or anything. So they talk text everything into a Grok or ChatGPT or Copilot to create an image for them, and then like, okay, make the image do this and that. And so that's where their entertainment is coming from now, instead of it being like we always talk about, like the iPad babies, like they watch YouTube videos all day long and see this thing. Now it's nothing like that. And it's funny because I seen a kid this morning when I went to the diesel shop to drop my truck off. His daughter was there, and she's playing on an AI creating a thing. And I was like, that's hilarious. Like literally 6 months ago, it was everyone's swiping through watching people play video games.
Yeah, I haven't really let my kids get on to any AI. I have helped use AI to create fictitious beasts.
Products.
Creatures. And then actually it's kind of interesting. One of the creatures that my oldest son designed had me put into ChatGPT. He drew it, and then I took the picture, and I put the picture into AI, and it made a realistic version of it. And now my sister's actually crocheting a stuffed animal of the creature.
Oh, that's
cool. AI made for him for at Christmas.
I mean, there's so much cool stuff you can do. Like 3D printing, you could have AI design it for. I mean, it's such a task augmentation. It doesn't go do it for you, but it gives you like the information you need to do the thing.
Yeah.
Whatever the thing is. So if you don't use AI, one of our core values is being tenaciously effective. I mean, it's kind of being ineffective to not use a tool that is a good resource for information, for ideas, for getting us to specific directions.
Yeah. And I think the point of talking about AI in the trades is how can it be used effectively, and why are you so valuable if you are in the trades? And I think the reason, one of the biggest reasons that people are so valuable in the trades, there's two big ones that come to mind right away. Is one is every single job site's different. So AI thrives with repetitive tasks, you know?
That makes me laugh because there's several people who have multiple stores that are the same store, and they're like, every one of them are built the same. And every time we've been there, completely different issue, different piece of equipment, nothing's the same. And we're like, hey, look, this is different. He's like, oh, well, that one's different. Then we go to the next one, and they're like, same store. We get there, we're like, this one's different.
That's not even the same brand of equipment. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So every job site's different. And then the second thing is the human trust and connection. You know, when you're talking to a facilities manager at a restaurant, they want to talk to a human being that's been doing this and knows their craft and is very good at it. And so those are the two big things. The human trust and connection that you have with being able to talk to another human being that knows what they're doing. People don't trust AI.
You know?
No. And with for good reason, because sometimes it spits out stuff that you're like, that's not it at all.
I mean, there's a scripture in the Bible that talks about not forsaking the assemblies of ourselves together.
Yeah.
Like, you have to be human to human connections. Like, that's a real thing. And internet and social media has done a great job of isolating people.
Yeah.
Not solitude. Solitude's when you choose to go, I want meditate, prayer, whatever you do. But isolation is when, like, you're being pulled away when you're by yourself. But it makes you feel like you're with people, but you're not actually having interhuman connections. And that, you did a study, I think it was last year, across 80 different places, or 90, whatever the number was, and their biggest thing was communication. Well, that's human to human connection. That's what that really is. Yeah, we have to share data, but really looking someone in the eyes and having a conversation about a product or about a thing or fixing an object is so much more important than actually having AI, even if it could fix it. Is it going to communicate human to human and make you feel like you were actually taken care of? Like, that matters. We had, you weren't in it yesterday. I had a Zoom call with one of our customers yesterday, and he does a ton of areas around us. And one of his vendors in a different area called him, and he was like, that's what I like about you guys and these other companies, is when they reach out and they're communicating with us and they actually care about what's going on. And, you know, that's just kind of speaks of what we're talking about today. AI is not going to do that. Even if it sent him an email, it's not a human.
Yeah, for sure. That's what, I mean, that's one of the reasons Mike, our founder, he's so particular about the phone, the way, like, answering the phone. We've never had a phone service. We've never had an automated thing where you call in. No. It's like, press 1 to put in a service call, or press 2 to go to billing. We don't have that. You call and a human being answers the phone. And I feel like the trades are specifically like that. Like, when I came to work in the trades, one of the things that surprised me from coming from restaurants was calling a supply house and getting a human being the first time I called.
Oh, that drives me. Restaurants drive me nuts. When you call, like, a nice restaurant.
Yeah.
And you get a press 1 for reservations, press 2 for this. I'm like, just answer the phone and direct me.
For everything else. And you're like,
can you just say that first?
Yeah. For a while, everybody said 0. So if I would just hit 0.
But if your name is Karen, press 7. Takes you straight to the manager.
Legitimately, though, in the restaurants, even when I called vendors, unless I had their direct cell phone number, which most people don't answer their cell phone anyway.
Well, especially for my wife. Sorry, I love you very much if you're listening, which I know you're not because you don't have your phone on you.
But I would never get a hold of people. And then I came here and it was like, when you need filters or you need belts or you need to place an order, you call the supply house and you talk to somebody who knows the system and can put in an order, and they answer the first time.
You know, most of the supply houses around here have went to, like, you can text your order in or you can get online. And I always ask them, like, does that go very well? They're like 10% of the people use it. And I'm like, yes, because they like to talk to people.
Yeah, I want to talk to the guy at the counter.
Yeah.
Because he might tell me something I don't know. I might say, oh, yeah, I need this, you know, I need this or that. And they might be like, well, why don't you just get this one? It does both. You know?
I heard speaking of counter guys and, like, good counter people, an old guy used to that I used to learn from around here said, it's a good counter guy when you walk in and tell him what you want and you leave with what you need. He's like, that's how you know you have a good counter guy. And that's the only way you can do that is if you talk to someone. Because if I got on and said I need a CO32 capped and I sent that in a text message, guess what's going to be ready for me? A CO32 capped.
Yeah.
That might not be what I needed.
Yeah.
Like, hey, what you got going on? What are you working on? What refrigerant? What are you doing?
Yeah.
And they would be like, no, you actually need this different filter dryer. And I'm like, oh, well, thank you, because I was thinking this thing. This is where my brain was at. And they're like, no, they help you out. Because most of the guys, when you go to a supply house, have been in the field, worked. Sometimes they're retired or some of them are learning. So it's good information. You get a lot of good yeah, stuff from them.
I think supply houses, too, like management has a little bit of I don't think they always remember that that's what matters, because we were talking to somebody the other day about, you know, counter guys not being – as friendly as they could be. And in my mind, I was like, that's what I want. Like, I want a grumpy counter guy that when I tell him what I want, he's like, what? Are you an idiot? That's not the thing that you want. And then he shows me the thing, you know, because 9 times out of 10, when I walked into a supply house, I either didn't get everything I need, and he's like, do you also want this? I'm like, what's that? You know, and I needed it. Or I was like, I need this. And he's like, we don't even have that. And then I would tell him what I'm doing. He's like, oh, well, you actually need this. You don't even need that thing.
Well, that's what, I mean, Mike Rogers has talked about it several times. Even when I was younger in the trades, go spend time at a counter.
Yeah.
Even if it's like a waste, you feel like it's a waste of time, you're going to hear other people order things. You might help them out. They might help you out. And other companies, because really we're all here just to fix stuff.
Yeah.
We're not really, we call it competitors, and we are competitors when it comes down to like the brass tacks of it. But everyone wants to see stuff fixed the right way. And for so sure. Like everyone, that's the cool thing about tradesmen. Now, sharing hunting spots, no one's going to tell you about that. But if it comes to like sharing how you fix the compressor or how you fix X refrigeration problem or X food service problem, a lot of people share information pretty freely.
Yeah, nobody wants to see hack work done.
No.
Like, even if it means that more.
That's why we make fun of it so much.
nobody wants to show up and be like, yeah, this was done terribly and now it has to be completely redone. I mean, yeah. Yes, it means you get more business today, but also it's like, man, this could have been done so much better. Like, my dad's been in the trades for his whole life, basically. He fixes generators. And he gets so frustrated when he sees something that wasn't done right. Like, even if it's not a trade that he's an expert in, if he sees something that was just done the wrong way, it just agitates him. He'll be in a bad mood for like 2 hours because he saw something that was done incorrectly.
Yeah.
And I've actually seen technicians that have worked here where they get offended because people were abusing their equipment.
Oh, yeah. You
know, even if it means that we get more work out of it. They'll be like, seriously?
They don't even take care of the stuff?
They don't put filter paper in their fryer filter.
I fixed this last week. I got to exactly. Fix it again. They don't care about what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Yep. I remember.
And it offends them. And, it, mm-hmm. You know, that's one of the things that makes people in the trade so cool is, like, they are a rare breed of people. Like, you care about what you're doing. You care about the equipment.
And so as soon as you figure out how to have AI do that, then we'll be out of jobs. I had to bring us back to the AI word that we're talking about.
Maybe start giving AI some Tylenol or something. It'll get the autism we all have. I don't know if we could say that on air or not.
We'll cut that out. No, I'm just kidding. We'll be right back. That's funny.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, man. No, AI is a great task augmenter. It helps us do our job better, for sure. Like, John, one of our branch managers, was probably one of the earlier users of AI for notes and his invoices. And one of the things that I've seen him do is when we're very concerned about exactly how our invoices are laid out. Mm. And he was able to teach his AI exactly how he wanted his notes laid out. It took him about a month or two to get it somewhat perfected. And it's still not perfect because he still has to adjust them, but it gets a lot of it. He was able to eventually train it take a picture of the model and serial number of what he's working on. And then he would say, I replaced X part. And it would go through his whole trouble. It would explain what he would have had to do to get there, what he would have had to do to order it, what he would have had to do to replace it, and then what the end user can do to stop that from happening again in the future. Which is, and he taught it how to do that, and it started laying it out with his date, with his name on it, and it started getting it. We like to have bullet points. It would bullet point it for him to where, like, he would just grab that information, throw it into his AI that he used all the time, and just like that, he was, like, he hated paperwork just like every other trades guy hates paperwork, and it was able to do it for him, which was, like, one of the cool things to see. And we're trying to figure out how to implement it into our system now to where no one has to type notes out, because that's, like, the thing that if you talk to any technician, I hate filling out paperwork. So let's figure out how to make paperwork filled out for you. And
that actually makes me curious if there's a way that we could build specific prompts so that when people are actually troubleshooting and they're trying to get feedback from AI, like you said, how sometimes it'll take you down the wrong rabbit hole. If we could build prompts that have the principles that we teach trainees into the prompt and then ask the question, if it would point it in the right direction, because we started with the information we're expecting the tech to have.
Yeah. There's one of our techs actually has it built in an AI. We just haven't figured out how to get it into our own application. It's pretty cool to see. He has it has our five things, and you just put, like, quick little 1 to 3 word things into it, and it automatically populates everything.
I wonder if Bluon, you remember Bluon? I wonder if Bluon
has. Shout out.
Shout out. If you don't know what Bluon is, it's
Google it, or actually AI it.
It's it's free to use, so.
That was a miss on my part. AI it. Speaking of AI in it, I seen a Tesla the other day, and the license plate said Grok it. I was like, that's pretty funny.
Yeah, I think that Bluon has an AI for troubleshooting. I'm not 100% sure.
If they don't.
It's a missed opportunity.
Missed opportunity. We have some people that you should reach out to. Contact us at 513-780-5247. We'll get you on the place.
I'm going to log in real quick.
He's logging into Bluon. If you don't know what Bluon is, Bluon's a great thing. I think it's retired people, retired technicians. Is that correct?
I don't know if they're retired.
It's just old tech. It's technicians.
Experienced technicians.
That's what it is, that you can call in, and they're always available for tech support. So you're, instead of talking to a manufacturer, you're talking to a real technician, and they will help you get through a job, and you can ask questions. And I know some of our technicians use it. Not every one of them use it. I never actually used it myself.
I never have got bad tech support from them.
Oh, that's, like, good to hear. I mean, that's one of the things that drives me nuts about some manufacturers is you get bad tech support sometimes.
They have AI support.
Well, that's exciting.
I haven't used it because they didn't have it back when I was using.
Back in the day.
Back in the day. Just a few years ago.
Back in the 50s. No.
if that was true, I would be on Bluon helping people out.
Oh, man.
But, so check out Bluon if you are looking for tech support, or you're a new technician or even an experienced technician.
Bluon, I believe, right? Or is it Bluon?
It is Bluon.
Oh, so no E.
Yeah, no E. But it has, you can search for models of equipment. You can search for parts. You can scan nameplates. You can use AI support. And then the best thing about it, in my opinion, I'm assuming they still have just the phone number where you can actually call and speak to a technician. But that was always the best, was calling and speaking to somebody that wasn't only an expert in carrier equipment or only an expert in train equipment, but also an expert in being a technician and had done it in the field.
Knowing the principles of how to fix things.
Yeah. Talking to a guy about saturated temperatures for the first time on Bluon, he was like, man, I'm so glad that you already know that, because so many times I get people calling and telling me what the PSI is, and I'm like, tell me what the saturated temperature is. And it's like, when you get that kind of tech support, you're like, okay, this guy has done it.
Yeah, he's been in. He's been in it before.
Yeah, yeah, he's been where I'm at. So,
yeah, and that goes back to our AI can't take the job, because you need that human to human relationship that kind of gives you a lot more confidence in the things you're doing. I just thought of many times when I was in the field, talking to someone was really me not talking to myself, because people would think I'm a weirdo. But sometimes you need to talk yourself through a situation or through an issue, and you solve it yourself. There's been many times where I would call Mike Rogers in the younger days, and I would tell him what I'm working on and why I'm telling him why I'm working it on and what I've done so far. I would solve the problem by I'm just talking to him, and he was just like, oh, okay, sounds great, and then just hang up, and I had the problem solved. Just needed to talk to a human about it. And you put what happens to AI is you put your problem in, and it's just trying to solve your problem instead of like letting you think your mind through it. And then we put a lot of faith into what it's saying is true. And young technicians, I don't, just from what I've seen with refrigeration information, it's not always 100% accurate, because it's pulling from the internet. And so if people made posts and said it's true, it's assuming that that's true.
Yeah.
It's giving everyone the benefit of the doubt, which is also not safe.
Yeah, for sure.
So,
and it also is mixing in like more complex systems with less complex systems. I mean, it's not going to be 100% accurate on it.
I mean, one of our statements around here is prove all things. So no matter what information you get from who, you still got to go prove it. Make sure that it's actually the fruit that you need. So AI's cool. We use it. It's fantastic. It's task augmentation, but it's definitely not taking our jobs.
Yep.
Or and I'll fight AI.
There will be lots of demand in the future. A couple stats I'll just close with here for getting into the trades. 25% of skilled trade workers are nearing retirement. That's from the Associated Builders and Contractors 2024. So that's 25% of the workforce. Over 50% of skilled trade workers are age 50 or older. So that means over half. Oof. And 20% are over 60. So if you want to be in a demand career that's going to be in demand for
the high value job.
Yeah, for the next 30 to 50 years where you are secure in your career, the trades is an excellent place to start. If you don't know how to get started in the trades, listen to the Smarter Wealthier podcast. We have done several podcasts about getting into the trades, how to get started, where to start, is school the answer, apprenticeship versus trade school. We've done a ton of talking about how to get started. So if you are interested in that, definitely go look on our podcast, and coming soon.
Google us. I'm just kidding.
Coming soon, we will have the Smarter Wealthier website, which should have some pretty cool resources we're excited to share with you guys. So stay tuned. We will be back next week, and we look forward to talking about these things again.
Awesome.